Very, very excited today because I get to sit here with funny man, TV star, and my former husband, Ian Gomez. And thank you for not spitting your coffee out.
I just drooled a little bit. That's all. I said former husband, and I got all nervous.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 236, Meet Ian Gomez. We are taking a break this week from the backstage touring antics of our Down Under dalliances to talk to an old friend of mine, Ian Gomez, who my wife Dee Ryan and I first knew in Chicago when Dee worked with Ian and his wife Nia Vardalos at Second City, but who then I got to work with on some very special episodes of Felicity back in 2000. You may know Ian from The Drew Carey Show, Whose Line Is It Anyway, or even a classic Bud Light commercial, but I first asked him about the TV show he starring in now.
First of all, tell us about Cougar Town, because Cougar Town was it's got such a great comic pedigree, and yet everybody was bitching about the title. I thought it was a good title. I thought it was a great concept. A bunch of horny women of a certain age down in Florida.
Well, yeah, that's I guess how they sold the show, saying that it was going to be, you know, Courtney Cox dating different guys and young men and all that stuff. And then, you know, they realized that that was going to not be worth watching for, you know, 7 years, hopefully, something like that. Yeah. So it switched into what I think they wanted to, from the beginning, which is more of an ensemble show.
Right.
And so the title doesn't really match the show anymore.
Right.
So there was, you know, people wanted to change it, and then we decided, or I didn't decide. I was told that I decided.
This is up to you, these things?
No. We as a group, the Royal We, I guess, decided that we're just going to embrace how horrible it is.
Right.
And just go, yeah, it's a terrible title, but watch the show.
Well, it's a terrible title, and in many ways, the characters are kind of terrible. I mean, they're kind of fun characters that you love to watch kind of be outrageous, right? You know, so in that way, it totally kind of matches.
You know, we're not nice people. I mean, you know, some of us, you know, we have, you know, we're all friends, but we're, you know, you probably wouldn't want these people as friends. Or ones, you know, individually. As a group, we're good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And did you know, you knew several of these, a lot of these folks you'd worked before. Krista?
Krista Miller was on The Drew Carey Show, and I was there from time to time, so we knew each other. I knew her before she met Bill Lawrence, who's the creator of the show, and now they are married. Mm-hmm. So
she can't be that terrible.
No, not at all. She's fantastic. Her image on TV, which is, but that comes slightly from real life. You know, it's a part of her, not that extreme, of course.
Well, and she was the great down to earth girl next door on Drew Carey.
Yes.
And then she was the wife from hell who had her moments, but that was really the couple from hell on Scrubs.
Yes. And then she's kicked it up a notch, I think.
Which is great. Yeah, you got to go with what works.
Yes, absolutely. Go with what you know.
Now, speaking of going with what you know, you've had such a very cool range, and this is why I was excited to talk to you, because, this podcast really, it subtextually and even textually celebrates the character actors, because that's what we of the Reduced Shakespeare Company are. And you're just one of these classic character actors. You've done so much in so many different venues. You started, was Second City your first start?
Second City. I had taken classes in New York, and then freaked out and moved to Chicago, and started working at Second City. And then, you know, it was just there was no pressure like there is in New York, or it didn't seem like there was pressure to me. So I was able to kind of, you know, take my time and, you know, just really enjoy it, the whole process of learning and, you know, learning how to audition and learning how to, you know, get the job and what to do with the job and all that other stuff, you know. And then freaked out and moved to Los Angeles. A lot of freaking out and moving.
There's a theme in your work.
Yes. I had met my wife, Nia, in Chicago. We got married and moved out to Los Angeles. And it was starting all over again. And you know, lucky I landed, like, the first job, I think, was Drew Carey show.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. And and some other classic television.
Well, we remember you so fondly and so many. I remember you played a coroner in one of the Chicago early edition or something.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's even before Drew Carey. That's right. I was the coroner on Missing Persons.
Missing Persons.
Right, a Daniel J. Travanti vehicle, which survived like 4 years and nobody ever watched it, which was fantastic.
Right.
I got to work in one of my first pilots. I think it was called Game Night, starring Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was, and I had two lines. One was, in 4, 3, 2, 1. And then also, don't say the 2 and the 1. So, you know, so I got cut down. You know, you just do it with the fingers. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm losing lines already. And the second was, in 3. And I had to just mime the 2 and the 1, and that was great. That was really cool.
That was like some of my most compelling work on CSI Miami, where I had a 3-page scene with David Caruso that became 3 lines, which they cut down to 1 in the final edit.
He says so much with his eyes that you don't need more than 1 line.
Well, and in fact, in my audition thing, which they were filming, with April Webster, the casting director, I actually took off my glasses kind of mid-sentence, and she went, "Up, stop, go back, stop, don't do that." I went, "Oh, you're right, that's Caruso's move, sorry.
That's copywritten."
Yeah, no, it is. But you're from the New York area, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm from Manhattan, grew up there. And I was supposed to be in the restaurant business and freaked out. And, yeah.
Okay.
Decided I was going to try acting.
Well, and was part of the freaking out about New York itself, not just the competitiveness of it, but just like, let's just move away from home. Let's just do something else.
No, had Second City been in Chicago, I would have done that. Been in New York.
Right.
I would have stayed in New York.
Right.
But also, I guess there was something to the fact of just getting away.
Yeah. Well, and Second City gave you such opportunity, gives everybody who gets into those companies the opportunity to create their own material, work it, hone it, find out what works for them comedically, mm-hmm. actor-wise. Did you find that you had a type?
No, I was searching. I really, you know, my time at Second City was more of a learning experience than a fully creative one. I was trying to figure out what it is that I do and how to do it. And, you know, I the shows that I had the opportunity to be in and write really didn't really, you know, say much about me. There are a couple of gems, you know, that I think are okay, but you know, I don't remember most of it.
Right. Well, you and Nia were just a little ahead of D, mm-hmm. and so in the hierarchy there, and we in the years. And when I came in, you know, you were just one of those first faces that I saw, and I went, "Who is this guy?" You know. And then later on, we got to be husbands. So in fact, let's talk about that. Your character Felicity was so different from your other parts, and really such a huge performance. How did you get the part, or how did you decide to make that choice? To make that choice to be so huge for the character in your
Because I had got a lot of training at Second City, huge came kind of naturally. Because bigger can be funnier, or gets more, you know, focus on stage. It's a horrible, horrible habit. But anyway, so I read it. You know, I didn't read the whole script. I just knew it was, you know, some character, and I had this character that from Second City that I decided I'd try, but maybe tone it down a little bit. And they just kind of stared at me, and then all of a sudden I found out I got the job.
Well, and you created the, Javier, for those who don't know, I mean, you've got to go seek out Felicity, but if you don't know Javier, it was the flamboyantly effeminate owner of the Dean and DeLuca coffee shop where Felicity and the gang all worked. Mm-hmm. You were sort of the template for the sassy gay friend. I think you've made Eric Stone Street's Emmy possible. You're a trailblazer in many ways. It's sort of a gay icon, Ian Gomez. How do you feel?
I have yet received any flowers from Eric Stone Street, or thank you, or nothing. But, you know, hey, we all beg, borrow, and steal. No. I often felt that he was like Count Dracula in this like teen angst TV show, and all of a sudden you cut to like Bela Lugosi making coffee. Good evening, Felicity. You know, it just seemed like so out of place at times. So I had to, and I was still learning then because, you know, you don't know how big to go or how small to go, or I didn't, you know, and I'd like do stuff when I was completely off camera and they're like, you're off camera. You're just wasting time basically.
Right.
Because the other person's trying to get their lines out.
Right.
So it was, you know, it was a huge learning experience, and hopefully I'm not as large.
Well, I remember you being, because on the very first day that I think it was the very first day that I was there playing Samuel, your fiancé, then husband,
mm-hmm.
You did a take for some reason, and you went into the cooler in the Dean and DeLuca, and you yelled from behind the set, "Oh God, that was bigger than Urkel. We got to go again." I mean, so you had some self awareness of your own.
Yeah. Sometimes I felt very huge, but then it was always kind of a surprise, going, "Oh, really? They picked that?" You watch it on TV. But you know, I guess everyone has that.
How do you monitor? I mean, it's one thing to be huge, but it's also then grounding the hugeness, you know? So yes, you were huge, but you had so much heart underneath the huge. You know, it really, there are people in life that are that huge, you know?
That's I guess, yes, that is true.
Yeah.
And I did, I've met some of those people. I guess that's part of the learning thing. You kind of learn how to, you know, make it real.
Right.
Or make it believable.
Hi, this is Brian Stack from The Conan Show, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? At the San Jose Repertory Theater in San Jose, California this week, performing The Complete World of Sports Abridged, and then Washington, D.C. for 5 weeks at the Kennedy Center performing Completely Hollywood Abridged and The Complete World of Sports Abridged. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information.
And they made Javier's wedding into a big, big sweet kind of a thing. So they needed to cast a major star for Javier's husband Samuel. Who didn't they get?
Harrison Ford.
Yes. Were you involved at all in the casting of?
You tell me what you know.
All right. Here's what I know.
I know that I was. I know that Janet Gilmore and Megan McConnell cast Felicity, and Janet is an old friend of mine from Cal, Berkeley, and my agent called me and said, Janet's looking for the husband of da-da-da, and we already knew the show because we had been watching you, and I went, oh, my God. Well, they can't want... I called Janet. I said, well, you obviously don't want somebody as flamboyant as Ian is playing, right? And she said, no. We want somebody exactly like you, just nice and straight, meaning normal. And I went, okay, all right, I can do that. So I went in and I did that in the auditions, and it was down to a couple of us, and I was put on hold, and then I had to come back in again. They went through a lot of a long, lengthy process. I mean, for me, I never get those lengthy processes. They either cast me or they don't. But this one went through several, and then and now I know enough to go, all right, did which famous person said no? All right, then let's go with Austin. But but I remember you. I remember the night before we were supposed to go shoot. You called me, and I think, if I'm not getting the story backwards, I went, hello, and you went, I'm getting married in the morning. And you hadn't heard who the part had gone to until you got your call sheet the night before.
Wow, yeah. I seem to remember them mentioning you beforehand, so I'm going to take credit for getting you the job.
Thank you, then. Thank you.
That I said, oh, definitely Austin.
Good.
I know him. I think it was the question of, would you rather kiss a man you don't know or a man that you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, okay. Well, there's that. And I was, you know, then I said, I would love to kiss a man I know. and I hope that man is Austin Titchener.
Please God, in my dreams. Well, I remember, you know, I remember we ran up the aisle after one take, and I said something like, doesn't this seem like a sketch from Second City that should have been cut, you know.
It broke ground, you know. I think that was the first gay wedding on TV.
Yeah.
And
it was nominated for a GLAAD Award.
Yes, it was nominated for a GLAAD Award. We didn't win. Some other stupid show won.
Bitches.
I know. I threw such a hissy fit. And, you know, but it was, you know, people come up to me, and I'm sure that they do to you, too, and, you know, out of the blue, just, you know, Felicity, and they're not many fans, but they're very strong. They're ardent fans, and so it's fantastic. They're always like, oh, that was so, I loved it. It was like, got me through college.
Wow.
My mom loved it, too.
Yeah. I got recognized on a commuter plane from Hawaii to Maui, and the kids were so impressed.
Wow, yeah.
Well, and I remember I had to go get fitted for a tux for the wedding,
mm-hmm.
and Quincy had to come with me, and so he was, what was he, 6 or 7 at the time, and so I said, why are you getting a tux, Dad? I said, well, I'm going to be on a TV show. I'm going to pretend to get married, and you know Ian, you remember Ian? He's been by to see you. I'm getting married to Ian. He went, oh, okay. You know, and I'm not sure it trickled in, kind of settled, sunk in.
Well, it's nice that you raise your child like that. You know, that whole, you know, man-woman thing
is, yes,
antiquated, in my opinion.
And, you know, that's what I say to the kids is, you know, some guys like boobs, some guys like legs, some guys like guys, you know? It's just what you like what you like. The playing Javier so flamboyantly, everybody, you know, for decades, you never played a gay character because it would typecast you, it would poison you in the mind. Was that ever a problem for you in terms of getting future work?
Yeah, right afterwards, all the parts were kind of for gay guy or gay Hispanic guy, yeah, but something different than Javier. I'm like, I'm not that good of an actor. They're all gonna sound like him. I had a couple of things. I had a drought for a while where I didn't do any auditions, and, you know, that's part of it.
Yeah.
And then I got typecast as the schlubby best friend next door neighbor kind of guy, which is fantastic because there's a market for that. You always need,
yes,
a schlubby next door neighbor.
Yes, you do.
You know, who can say all the weird things that the leads can't say.
Yes, and that schlubby next door neighbor is one day going to have to hire a lawyer. Played by me.
You look very good in a suit, by the way.
Thank you very much.
And surrounded by all that dark wood. It really suits you. It brings out your skin tone.
Now, you mentioned your wife before, Nia Vardalos. You are also, in addition to getting me one of the greatest jobs of my life, the inspiration for the My Big Fat Greek Wedding phenomenon. Because it was, Nia wrote that inspired by her marriage to you. What's it like being married to a talented actress who also is writing down everything you say and is going to use it later?
Just keep in mind, 50%.
Baby. And here in California, that's right.
That's it. I've been in for over 10 years. It's, you know, hey, I get half. No, it's fantastic. I mean, she keeps me going, you know. She's so she's ambitious and talented and wants to be better all the time, and it's inspiring, and I wish I could just get off the couch.
Yeah.
That's my goal right now, is get off the couch. And I know more about the kids, the shows my kids watch than my kids do. I can recite them. It's horrible. My kids?
Your kids.
I have one child and two dogs, and I call them my kids.
Your kids. Well, even more reason to thank you for getting up off your couch and away from your children to come and meet me this morning for the podcast. That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your landmark pop culture wedding via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on our website podcast page, and you can post reviews on iTunes. In fact, I hope you will. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduce Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always
always to webmaster Matt Rippey, gay icon Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week is actually not so random, because it goes to Erica and Paul on their one-year anniversary. Their first date was a year ago at our performance of the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, at San Diego Repertory Theater. Happy anniversary. Special thanks to Brian Stack from The Conan Show, and thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 236 708ths of the reduced Shakespeare Company.
You know, nothing against Tina Fey, but Nia should have been playing Sarah Palin. Nia looks much more like Sarah Palin than Tina does.
Yes, she does. There was a period there where she could not wear glasses and her hair up.
Yes.
And so that was rough. There was a lot of contacts, a lot of, my eyes hurt. But yeah, I think Nia should play everything.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.